It's the NFFL Podcast with your host, Dr. Richard Headley, and a brand new co-host this week. That's right. We're taking his co-hosting virginity this week. And I can see his face, but you can't. But he's smiling. I think he likes it. Welcome back to the NFFL Podcast. I am your host, and this week we've got a brand new guest host with us. So, guest host, who do we got here on the mic?
Oh, we got the owner of Awful Waffles, Matthias Fridgen. Happy to be here. The reigning Pierce.
That's right. Two-time winner of the Phyllis, straight to the Pierce winner, and newly married man.
Indeed. It's like when you hit rock bottom, you got to find something to pull yourself up. So that's, I had to find a woman to drag me out of the well, get me out of the ditch.
Oh, there you go. So how's married life treating you?
Man, been a wonderful 3 weeks. I mean, I think 49 years to go, maybe if I'm lucky. But no, it's been wonderful so far. We just got back last week, took a nice honeymoon, went to Portland, Maine, and then took an Alaskan cruise with the kids. And so, like, it's all been Shangri-La so far. Now we got to settle in and go back to work and figure out how to live together, and the real fun begins.
There you go. All right. So let's dive right into it this week. We're going to take a look back at week two. And Ty and I are actually going to break up these games. Ty is going to take the odd games. I'm going to take the even ones. And first up, we've got San Diego 8 at, as of last week, number 10. And 0-1 going into that game took on number 3, Gridiron Mafia, at 1-0. This was an interconference matchup. I had picked Gridiron Mafia to win, and they had fulfilled my prophecy, winning 192 to 184.65. Ty, give us a breakdown of this game.
Yeah, this was actually a really close game. Pretty tightly contested, kind of came down to the Monday night game last night. And for a while, I thought San Diego was going to, 8 was going to pull it out, have an A.J. Brown for Philly, because that first half, it was just lights out, and Jalen Hurts was hitting them all the time. So it looked like he could have made a late run there, but Gridiron Mafia was able to hold him off. So it was well fought on both sides.
And that it was. Any other surprises for you from that game?
I got a couple studs and duds and a surprise here. We had big performances on the running backs for both teams. Aaron Jones went off for 30 for Gridiron, and San Diego 8 had 30 from Nick Chubb. So they were really, really going at it there. I think what hurt San Diego 8 was Alvin Kamara being ruled out and putting up that goose egg.
Oh, yeah.
But on the flip side, you had Kenny Golladay for the Giants showing up with no points either. So they kind of balanced themselves out there. And so maybe the surprise for me, it was Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Lions. He put up almost 35 points for Gridiron Mafia. And maybe that shouldn't be a surprise, because he did well last year, and so far in 2 weeks, he's been doing well. So maybe he's just going to be a good performer every week.
You should be pretty familiar with Amon-Ra there. He's a Vikings fan. You see him twice a year now.
Yeah, they're about to see him next week too. So, start him again, Gridiron Mafia. The Viking secondary is not going to be able to stop anybody.
All right, so we move on to number 12, Johnny Fuckett at 0-1, took on the number 1 team, Bear Bunda's Nightmare, 1-0, in another interconference matchup. And I had picked Johnny as my upset pick for the week and to win. especially considering it was number 12 going against number 1. And Johnny did win 211-36 to 178-14. This game really was never in doubt for Johnny, though. He pulled out big at the beginning and just coasted. Some studs. Both the number 2 and number 3 quarterbacks on the week were in this game with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And Johnny even had another top 10 QB sitting on his bench. Let's see, what was it? I believe he was the number 8 quarterback sitting on his bench. Kyler Murray was sitting on his bench the whole time. If we were a 2 QB league or a super flex, he could have really buried Bear Bunda. Wide receiver, more studs in this game. Hill and Waddle, top 2 wide receivers on the week were in this game. This really was the game of the week if you like points. And Mike Williams, wide receiver 8 on the week. So you got 3 top 10 wide receivers in this matchup. Now, as far as duds, this game had a couple. Bear Bunda's defense, and in fact, the defense on both sides. This was an offensive boondoggle. It was offense all over the place, but defensively this game was just horrendous because Bear Bunda's defense managed a whole 41 points and Johnny's defense managed 38.8. You combine these defense and they don't even reach a few of the defensive performances from last week. And individually, Bear Bunda, Kyle Pitts again disappoints greatly. And Cordarrelle Patterson kind of regressed. He's part of a 3-man committee. Saw one entire target the whole game. Looks like Cordarrelle's probably not going to be doing what he did last season. And I was surprised. I expected A.J. Dillon to do a little bit of regression compared to last week. But with the way that game played out, he really overcorrected. So let's move on to one more matchup. Number 3, number 9, Flutie Flakes at 0-1. Took on number 6, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer at 1-0. I had picked Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, and they did win 158-78 to 133-20. So, Ty, tell us about this monster matchup.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the historic, epic rivalries in the NFFL. Yeah, I always look forward to these games, and ended up turning into kind of a pedestrian effort from both sides, kind of a defensive struggle. Not a lot of production. The biggest thing that carried Jim Kelly to victory was Justin Herbert's performance, putting up almost 40 points as a quarterback and 3 touchdowns. So he had a great game. And Flutie Flakes was really hurt by Trey Lance going out. He only got 2.9 points from Trey Lance. So that was kind of the death knell there. On the bright side for Flutie Flakes, he had a decent performance by some of his defenders. Michael Walker had 16 points. And so he tried to, defense tried to keep him in it, but it just wasn't enough with Trey Lance going down, and didn't really get any good performance from any of his other offensive skill players either. So for the duds, Joey Bosa only was able to register 4 points on defense for Flutie Flakes. And so you're looking for him to get some more sacks and produce a little bit more in future weeks. And then on Jim Kelly Hates Cancer side, I had Taysom Hill, tight end, 1.4 points. Kind of a sneaky play trying to fit Taysom Hill. You wonder with the way, you know, Jameis Winston was playing, if maybe they'd give him some spot time at quarterback and he would increase that point total, but it didn't work out on Sunday. The biggest surprise to me for Flutie Flakes was that his highest scoring performer on offense was the kicker. Daniel Carlson had 13 points.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to win any weeks when that's your leading scorer on offense.
Yes, it is. So sad. Chuck, I believe Chuck wants to bring punters in, so maybe that would help.
Yeah. Special teams, you can't underrate them.
Bizzle wants to retroactively add punters.
We'll see. We can't get anything passed in our constitution these days.
Yeah. They'll be stuck in committee. All right. So let's move on to our game of the week. All right. Now all of our guest hosts have to dance for this one. Oh, yeah. There we go. He's working it. Oh, we got the double fists there. Ooh, he's got a whole club motif going on. This was number 2 Ninja Panthers at 1-0, taking on number 5 Lance Manlove at 1-0 as well. I had picked Ninja Panthers to win, and they did, 170.52 to 164. Now, I'd have to ask our league statistician, Scotty, but this may be Ninja Panthers' best start in quite some time.
Yeah, 2-0, leading the division.
Yeah, 2-0, leading the division. Yeah. This is like uncharted. Charted waters for Ninja Panthers. Defense, again, racking up the points for them. Curtis Samuel, proven to be a stud and a wide receiver. Amari Cooper showed up for Lance Manlove after pooping the first week, looking at least for this week. Now, Amari has the habit of being an every other week player, even in Dallas. So who knows? Next week, he could be back to nothing. But for this week, for Lance Manlove, he showed up. There were some duds. Kirk Cousins, again in primetime, apparently did not get the monkey off his back. Did not look good at all.
Yeah, this wasn't my game to analyze, but I just wanted to throw this in. You know, as an aside, I'm glad Ninja Panthers was still able to win in spite of Kirk Cousins. But there's 3 rules in life that I live by. Never play cards with a man who has the same first name as a city. Never get involved with a woman who has a tattoo of a dagger on her body, and never start Kirk Cousins in a primetime game on the road. You stick with those 3 things, the rest of life is cream cheese.
Yeah. To be fair to Ninja Panthers, the other quarterback on his roster was Daniel Jones, and that was a whole 3-point, not even a full 3-point difference. But, yeah. And it's very Tom Brady's performance. Oh yeah. My feelings on Tom Brady this year is he should not have come back. He might think he has something left in the tank. I don't think he does, me personally. And he was without some wide receivers yesterday. It was a divisional matchup. Yesterday was the first time he's ever beaten the Saints as a Buccaneer. And really, it took Mike Evans getting kicked out of the game for fighting. Which defender was it? One of the cornerbacks on the Saints that Mike Evans always gets into it with. It took those 2 getting thrown out for Tom and the team to get fired up enough to really do anything offensively. And he still didn't even crack 200 yards. But yeah. Yeah, I like those rules, especially number 3. And for Lance Manlove, this was really a bad week beyond Tom Brady. How do you lose when your opponent starts Kirk Cousins in a primetime game in Philadelphia, starts an injured wide receiver who doesn't even play, and a wide receiver who gooses? I don't understand.
Wow. Amari Cooper, but yeah, and everyone else just kind of...
On a week when Amari Cooper actually shows up. Well, one of them was probably my surprise. Jonathan Taylor going up against Jacksonville. 54 entire rush yards and 1 reception. I know that divisional game against Jacksonville for Indy has been tough lately, but... I expected a little more from Jonathan there.
Yeah, I didn't expect the Indy to get shut out there in Jacksonville, so that was not their best performance.
It was not. Oh. But let's move on to your matchup. Oh, yes. Dun, dun, dun. Awful Waffles taking on E-Town Asian. Number 7 Awful Waffles at 0-1 against number 8 E-Town Asian at 0-1. An interconference matchup for the ages. I picked Awful Waffles to win, and they did with, I'm looking for a sound effect here. There it is. 238.86 to 163.60, earning them the whoop-ass victory of the week, largest margin of victory. Ty, break down your massive victory for us.
Yeah, well, this was just one of those days where everything's clicking on all cylinders. Everyone's performing in their role. Things are coming together. So it was just an enjoyable weekend all around to observe, and capped off last night with a great performance by Jalen Hurts, quarterback, with 41.3 points. The receivers were productive. Cooper Kupp had almost 28. Cortland Sutton added 17. And didn't get a lot of help from the running backs, but the defense really, really performed well. We had Micah Parsons with 18, Devin White with 24, Brian Burns had a couple sacks and 18 points. So just a well-rounded effort. And it's just hard for anyone to compete with that when everyone's just performing. Etown Asian did have a couple of really nice performances, though. Trevor Lawrence had a solid game with 30 points. Jalen Waddle did everything he could with the Dolphins, 171 receiving yards, two touchdowns, had 36 points. I think Etown was hoping for a little bit better production from Justin Jefferson and Derrick Henry. They just weren't able to make anything happen in their games. Even with that, it just would have been tough sled. And it's just one of those weeks where everything comes together for awful waffles. On the dud side, I did have Rex Burkhead, only 1.9 points. So his experiment is over. I cut him after the game. If you don't perform for awful waffles, you're out. On the other side, Jerry Jeudy getting injured and leaving the game early in Denver there. Hurt Etown Asian. As far as surprises, I think the biggest surprise for me was that my team actually surpassed projections. And this has been like the first time in over a year. Last year we were projected to run the table and go undefeated last year, and every game it was 20 to 30 point underperformance, and the opponent that I'd be facing would always get 15 or 20 points overperformance, and got me to Pierce. And then last week it was the same thing. I was projected to get like 215 and I only got 200, and Ninja Panthers exceeded his expectations and beat me. I thought, here we go again, so it's nice to finally surpass projections and play a good week. Hopefully that'll continue for us.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Almost as good as getting married.
Almost. Our final matchup of the week was... Oh, by the way, this, for anyone who was waiting for it, this matchup between Awful Waffles and E-Town, simply by the fact that it was such a massive blowout and the number one quarterback of the week was sitting on E-Town's bench, was our Toilet Bowl game of the week.
Yeah, E-Town's defense, though, who would have ever thought Tua would go off for 60 points, six touchdowns, just an incredible day. But now he'll have more pause and he can start going forward.
If you got a quarterback or a wide receiver playing against Baltimore, play them. Apparently their secondary is made of Swiss cheese.
Or if you have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on your offense, I guess that's going to help out.
Apparently, don't be afraid to play them. All right. So our final matchup, Night Shift at number 11 and 0-1, taking on number 4, Roster Guard 99 at 1-0. Our final interconference matchup of the week. I had picked myself to surprise, and it's the only matchup I was wrong on my pick for the week. Roster Guard took me to the woodshed, 183.68 to 148.58. I got some guys that are running suicides up and down the stairs on the bleachers this week. But let's look on the bright side first. For Night Shift, Rashad Bateman did some good stuff for our top three quarterback of the week. Caught a nice 75-yard touchdown pass. The other white Josh Allen. No, is Josh Allen white in Jacksonville? I don't remember.
I want to say no, but I don't know why I think that.
I want to say no too, but he's not. I just brought up his picture.
Definitely not. Yep. Definitely not.
Well, let's just go with the other Josh Allen, and I'm not racist. The other Josh Allen had a nice day in Jacksonville, 19 points with 2 sacks and a nice forced fumble, helping prop up the defense. For roster guard Christian Kirk, very good day in Jacksonville. We'll stay there for a minute. Shaq Barrett, 23 points, 2 sacks and a fumble forced. And a nice day from Mark Andrews, bouncing back from a very sleepy first week. Over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown on Lamar's big day. Some disappointing days. Roster guard, I can't necessarily call them duds, but Joe Mixon and Devontae Adams had drop-offs. But for night shift, some big names disappointing. Bradley Chubb, big old fat goose egg. Russell Wilson is not living up to his expectations so far this year. 29 for 42 in week one, 14 for 31 in week two. He's not looking great in Denver so far.
Yep, you got to wonder how that new fit is with the new coach, Nathaniel Hackett, and they have some play calling issues, and so it might take some time for them to gel.
It might. And Darnell Mooney, in a game where they needed to throw to catch up, Justin Fields threw 11 total times. And he targeted Darnell twice. Wow. Of course, the only other time he caught one for -4 yards, but the other time he was overthrown. Darnell's very likely, he's on the bubble with my team, I'll be honest. And Dalvin,
he's been a disappointment.
He has been, as a keeper, he has been just absolutely underwhelming. And Dalvin Cook did not have a good day, and that is directly tied to Captain Kirk's bad day. Yes, this is a game where you just take the game tape out. You know, respectable numbers overall of almost 150 points. Definitely not the worst performance I could have had, and not the worst performance of the week, but it is the second worst of the week. So, yes, surprises. It wasn't closer than I expected. Oh, yes. That was your week two matchups brought to you by Ty's New Married Life. Yay!
Well, we had a trade go down this week between a couple of teams.
He trade raped you. You've been trade raped.
Did not trade rape me, yes, okay?
How many games have you seen Plexico Burress play this year?
I don't know, but the Giants have been doing...
Answer is zero, because the guy is in jail for 2 years, you moron.
He told me that wasn't Plexico Burress.
How did you not hear about this? You
I heard about it. I didn't think it was that guy.
That's him.
You're such an idiot.
From the mouth of babes.
No.
You're so stupid.
E-Town received Kareem Hunt, and Flutie Flakes receives Travis Etienne Jr. Now, 1 week in... Kareem outscored Travis, so a week in, E-Town seems to have won the trade. Rest of the season, it's hard to say. Based on strength of the remaining schedule, ETN has the easier remaining slate by far. Based on established usage, Kareem has the bigger, more reliable workload. So, barring an injury, I would have to call this one a push with a slight edge to E-Town. So... yeah, keep an eye on that one just for fun. So you can either poke fun at Flutie or E-Town for one or the other getting fleeced in this deal.
All right, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think our league is lacking something.
A giant.
And now it's time to take a look at our studs of the week with our stats powered by Scott Sweatman. So we're going to take a look at our top 5 players at each position and who had them. Top quarterbacks this week, I believe I already mentioned at least 2 of these. Tua
Tungavailoa, 59, almost 59 and a half points. E-Town Asian, sitting on the bench. Number two, Lamar Jackson, Johnny had him, almost 53 points. Josh Allen on Barebunda, 44.34. Carson Wentz, 42.04. Roster Guard, 99, sitting on his bench. Yeah. Fence, whatever. And Joe Flacco for Flutie Flakes, 41.74. I don't know that he was actually on the roster at the time, but oh well. Running backs, Nick Chubb, just shy of 31 points for San Diego 8. Aaron Jones, 30.5 points for Gridiron Mafia. Tony Pollard taking the lead 2 weeks in for Dallas, 17.80 points for Awful Waffles. Damian Harris, 15.70 points for Lance Manlove. And DeAndre Swift, 15.70 points for Ninja Panthers. Top wide receivers. It's really not a year for the running game, apparently. Stephon Diggs, almost 39 points for Barebunda. Tyreek Hill, just over 38 points for Johnny Fuckett. Jalen Waddle, just over 36 points for E-Town. Amon-Ra St. Brown, just shy of 35 points for Gridiron Mafia. And Cooper Kupp, just shy of 28 points for Awful Waffles. Tight ends were a little better this week. 21.20 points for our number one, Mark Andrews, rebounding after a poor showing last week for Roster Guard 99. Ross Dwelly, no one saw him coming this week, so he's a free agent at 14.30. Darren Waller for Ninja Panthers, 14 points even. Big Irv Smith Jr., 13.70 points for E-Town. And Logan Thomas, there's a name we haven't heard in a while, 12.80 points for the free agent. And rounding out our offense, kickers. Our number one kicker is a free agent, 17 points for Graham Gano, 13 points for Evan McPherson for San Diego 8. Daniel Carlson for Flutie Fakes. Flutie Fakes. There we go. Yeah, the Flutie Fakes. 13 points. Tyler Bass, number four, 12 points for Awful Waffles. And the only player on this list for Night Shift, Brandon McManus at 12 points, tying Tyler Bass at 4 points. On the defensive side of the ball, Marcus Williams, top defensive back of the week for Flutie Flakes, 27.6 points. Harrison Smith, just shy of 21 points for San Diego 8. Jamel Dean, 40 points, free agent. Julian Love's also a free agent, 18.80 points. And Jalen Watson rounds it out, 18.5 points as a free agent. Defensive lineman. Our number one defensive lineman was set firmly on the bench. Aiden Hutchinson, rookie up in Detroit, 26.80 points for Barebunda. Draymond Jones, a free agent, round up 23 points even. Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen. Okay, so Night Shift had two. 19 points even. Nick Bosa comes in at number four with 18.40 points for San Diego 8. And Brian Burns ties at four, 18.40 points for Awful Waffles. And our top linebackers, Devin White, number one, 24.40 for Awful Waffles. 23 points gets number two at Shaq Barrett for Roster Guard 99. Preston Smith is a free agent, and he earned number three with 20.80 points. I don't know how Josh Allen got in here as well, but he counts, so there we go. And Micah Parsons, number five, 18.40 points, Awful Waffles. So there you go. So that's enough of the good guys. Let's talk about the guys that we can mock.
The Brown Note! Yo, McGuire!
That's right. It's time for everyone's favorite time of the week where we talk about the turd alert. Yes. I need to come up with a sound effect for that. That's fun. Turd alert. Well, it's time to talk about the poopers of the week. Here we go. Darnell Poopy. You know what? He got 0.10 points. He might as well have been a goose. Dalvin Cook. Bradley Chubb, you're not sporting any Chubb there. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, you are not very good. Donovan Peoples-Jones was a goose.
I was really off on projecting him as a sneaky good start. Sorry, Rev. Glad it didn't hurt you. Matt Prater. Yeah, kickers suck too. You got a point. I'm giving you a goose sound. Rex Burkhead. Clearly not as well loved as we thought. Or maybe he just really does suck. Cordarrelle Patterson. Welcome to the Poopers of the Week. Kyle Pitts. You know what? You...
Diarrhea.
2 weeks in, you suck, dude. Trey Hendrickson. You're just bad. Taysom Hill.
Diarrhea.
Not good. And you know what? Our final pooper of the week is a man who deserves no accolades and is someone who will get roundly mocked every week he is on a roster because his new coaching staff has outright said he's not one of our guys. They've inherited him and they've hinted he may be a healthy scratch for weeks coming on.
Oh, what fresh hell is this?
That's right. It's Kenny. You suck.
You suck!
Galladay.
Diarrhea!
Buddy, I don't know who you are. You're about to get chlamydia.
And those are our poopers of the week.
The brown note! You McGuire!
So let's take a look ahead at week 3. Ty, you've got Jim Kelly Hates Cancer at taking on Ninja Panthers. What do you got for us?
Ooh, this is projected to be a real tight matchup. I think last night when I looked, it was 1-79 for Jim Kelly and Ninja Panthers at 183. Oh, it's changed a little bit, but they're within 4 points of each other on the projection. So I look for this to be a really tight matchup. Ninja Panthers trying to extend the unbeaten streak to 3 games. And I think the questions here, looking on the wide receiver front for Ninja Panthers, is Gabe Davis going to be come back after not playing last week? And for Jim Kelly, Hates Cancer, Michael Pittman, he could really use him back. And so I think their health is going to play into this. DeAndre Swift's been huge this year for Ninja Panthers. He's playing Minnesota, whose run defense has been really poor so far. So that's a matchup that he's going to look to exploit. And then Jim Kelly's had a nice surprise with Saquon Barkley so far, and he's playing against Dallas. So you got to think they're going to be feeding him the rock there in that game. Things to look out for both teams. Ninja Panthers, Ezekiel Elliott, he's kind of struggled so far, and without Dak Prescott there, and then the emergence of Tony Pollard. So you gotta be careful with his projections. And then for Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, Adam Thielen, he's got potential, but man, Kirk Cousins didn't look his way at all this week. So we'll see if they visit the film room and make any adjustments there, because he was open several times yesterday, and usually he's money in the red zone, but Kirk Cousins was just so scatterbrained. We'll see if they can get back on the same page against the Lions next week. But my pick for the game, I think it's going to be really close going to the end. I think Justin Herbert's just having a great season, and he's going to do enough to lift Jim Kelly Hates Cancer. So that's my pick.
Yeah, it's tough, but I think I might agree with you on that one. All right, matchup number 2 is another interconference matchup. Number 8, Lance Manlove at 101 is going to take on number 6, Bear Bunda's Nightmare, also at 101. Lance Manlove, currently, as I record, is projected to be the winner by about a touchdown. Now, on the good side of what we can expect, Jonathan Taylor probably rebounds. I'd expect Doug to have his team ready to go. And I think this week was kind of just a flash in the, not a flash in the pan. That's a good thing. Kind of just a fluke, a hiccup. And perhaps T. Higgins has another good day, another big day. For Bear Bunda, Allen and Diggs, can't go wrong there.
Leighton Vander Esch. If he was picked up to replace Trey Hendrickson, that's a good move. That'll net you points. On the negative side of things to watch out for, Lance Maynard, Damian Harris, and Amari Cooper. I just don't like either one of those plays. Until Amari Cooper shows me 3 weeks in a row where he can contribute, I just don't trust him. I've mentioned it before in this very episode. He's typically an every other week type of guy. And it's a Thursday night game. He's had 4 days. And yeah, it's a home game, but it's also a Thursday night game. And it's going to be a simplified game plan. And yeah. And Damian Harris, he's a New England running back going up against a defense that's weakness is really the pass. So I just don't trust it there. Surprise play. It's really boom or bust for the running backs this week. I mean, the entire field. Jonathan Taylor, okay, he probably rebounds. But then you got Damian Harris. You got Jeff Wilson Jr. going up against the stout Denver run D. Cordarrelle Patterson has settled into a three-headed timeshare. Khalil Herbert is the clear number two in Chicago. And Justin Jacobs he's got a delicious matchup on paper, but this is the second coach who does not properly utilize the man. So this is a boom or bust matchup for running backs this week. I'm going to take Lance Manlove to win this by 3 points. And our third matchup is going to be Night Shift taking on Johnny Fuck It. What do you got for this one?
Ooh, it's tough back-to-back weeks for Night Shift here. It's projected to be fairly close, I think. I wrote these projections down last night.
It's about a touchdown difference in Johnny Fuckett's favor. I really hate the schedule maker. Yes, it was me.
Why is that?
I just got a rough opening slate.
Yeah, you're 0-2.
I'm 0-2. A rough opening slate.
I think Johnny Forget About It had the second highest point total last week, so he's got some bringing some heat. So I think it'll be a tough matchup for you. But the things that I see in this one, I look for Austin Eckler to start to put some good work together. He's got that Jacksonville defense who shut down Jonathan Taylor Thomas last week. But that's gonna be another tough game. But if he can break out, that'll be huge. For Night Shift. And then for Johnny, I mean, he's rolling off that high with Lamar Jackson last week. And so what's Lamar going to be able to do against the New England defense? I think that could be another big week for him. Things to look out for. Well, for Night Shift, I picked Alan Lazard against that Tampa Bay defense. And then for Johnny, A.J. Dillon against that Tampa Bay defense, mostly because they're both Packers, so I'm going to be biased that they're going to have terrible games against Tampa Bay. that's what I see. Never, I don't ever like starting Packers unless I have to. Then the surprise of the week, I saw a couple. I think Jared Goff, who you picked up just off waivers this week. I could see him having a strong performance against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be a shootout. And of course, Minnesota's secondary hasn't been stopping much. So that might be some potential to insert him into the lineup over Russ, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson. And then also keep an eye on that, Benjamin, if James Conner is out there for Arizona, it wouldn't surprise me if he picks up double-digit points in that case. Yeah. My pick, I'm going to go with a little bit of an upset here, and I think Austin Eckler and Dalvin Cook are going to find a way to rebound, and then for Johnny, if we'll get about it, Tyreek Hill is just going to have a back-to-earth game and maybe only score 18 points instead of 35, and so I'm going to pick a Night Shift in the upset. Hmm.
Yeah, I want to, but I'm afraid to pick myself until I actually win.
I know that feeling. I'll do it for you.
All right. Matchup number four is another interconference matchup, and it features number 5, Awful Waffles, at 1-1, visiting number 9, San Diego 8, at 0-2, where Awful Waffles projects to be the victor by 32 points, not allowing San Diego 8 to right the ship. Ooh, for some big plays, for Awful Waffles, it's Cooper Kupp and Jalen Hurts for me. You know, if they played on the same team in real life, that might make Jalen a real-life quarterback I'd trust a little more. But it is what it is. But yeah, Cooper Kupp and Jalen Hurts, they both got nice matchups. They're going to be fine. I would trust them this week, no matter what. San Diego 8, A.J. Brown, yeah. Nick Chubb, yeah. It's Thursday night. The Browns are, if they're smart, they'll lean on the run. Maybe Alvin Kamara, if he's healthy. If he's healthy, he's got a really nice matchup. Those Panthers are really soft against the run. And the with their multi-fractured back, Winston at quarter under center, they would be wise to just lean on the running game. So if he's back and healthy, Alvin Kamara in the lineup would be a very good move. Things to watch out for. Awful Waffles. I don't know why Chase Edmonds is still in your lineup. The dude is in a timeshare on a pass-heavy team going up against Buffalo, who will not give up ground. Yeah. And I don't know if Keenan Allen's going to be healthy. He couldn't even play a full game in week one because of his hamstring. Yeah. San Diego 8, Elijah Moore, Noah Fant. Joe Flacco has thrown more passes than any other quarterback in the league through 2 weeks. And Elijah has been the target of 12 of them. That's it. Joe's thrown 50 plus attempts through 2 weeks. And Elijah has caught 8 of them for 90 total yards. That's it. He might not even be number 2 on the progression list. And Noah Fant, Noah Fart. That's just all there is to it. He's might be the number 3 tight end on that roster. He's had 6 targets through 2 weeks. Yeah. Surprise play. Brandon Ayuk with a full game of Jimmy G against the top flight Denver wide receiver defense. I actually kind of like that. He could get something done because that'd be the technically third offensive weapon that they'd have to look at after Jeff and Debo. So, I kind of like that. I'm still taking Awful Waffles to win, though. Matchup number 5, we've got Flutie Flakes taking on E-Town. Flutie Flakes number 12 on the league, taking on E-Town Asian at number 10. Now, I don't know what they were when you did your breakdown, but currently, E-Town is projected to win by about 3 points because Flutie Flakes has inserted Joe Flacco into their lineup.
Yep, so that's a risky move, but not a lot of other options for Flutie Flakes. So riding on Joe Flacco, it might pay off. He's got a matchup against Cincinnati, and you know they've been giving up some points. And Joe did really well last week against Cleveland.
He does lead touchdowns. The league in passing attempts this season through 2 games.
they've been throwing it like crazy up there in New York. So I think this will shape up to be a good matchup. It's 2-0-2 teams. So, hey, someone's got to get a win, and someone's going to be on a fast track to the Pierce watch list after this game. But I look for it to be pretty close for Flutie Flakes. Jamar Chase, I think he's going to have a big game against the Jets, probably going to be throwing a lot. And at some point, he's got to break out, right? I mean, the Bengals are too good not to start putting some good numbers up. So I look for him to break out. And then for E-Town Asian, Derrick Henry, same thing. He's playing the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're waiting on him to have that big week. But I think it's only a matter of time till he gets a couple touchdowns and starts to break some runs. Things to look out for, the bad plays for Flutie Flakes. Travis Etienne currently sitting in the flex spot for Jacksonville. Interesting note, he just made that trade last week with E-Town. So now they have opposing players. It was Etienne versus Kareem Hunt. And so a bit of a revenge game for both players, possibly. But I'm not sure how Etienne's going to do. It looks like James Robinson's been getting some more carries there in Jacksonville. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. And for E-Town, he's not even playing him right now. Chris Olave, who's been promising as a rookie down there in New Orleans. I think he was going to take a step back this week, though. And so I don't look for him to be a good starter. But it looks like right now he's not projected in the lineup. There's still Jerry Jeudy. And I'm not sure what Jerry Judy's status is going to be. That's going to be day to day. So it's possible E-Town's going to have to find another substitute to fill in there. Mm-hmm. Overall, though, I will say I think that E-Town Asian's going to find a way to pull this out. I think Justin Jefferson, Derrick Henry, and Jalen Waddle are just going to be too strong. And maybe Kareem Hunt will lift them over the edge and send Flutie Flakes to 0-3.
I would probably be in agreement with you on that one. And our game of the week. Is our final interconference matchup. And it's number 3 Gridiron Mafia at 2-0, visiting number 4 Roster Guard 99, also at 2-0. Gridiron Mafia, as of this recording, is projected to win by a field goal. Big things to watch out for. Gridiron Mafia, Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to eat. Yes, indeed. And something else, I noticed he's on the bench, at least as of this recording. Drake London. I would make sure he's in your roster. The dude is good. Definitely put him in there. For roster guard 99, Devontae Adams should rebound after last week's sorry showing. Tennessee showed they could not stop the pass against the Bills on Monday night. And Christian Kirk, dude's just descending. And I know the Rams are a tough play for wide receivers, but I think he'll be okay. Bad plays, Gridiron Mafia. Dalton Schultz is nursing a knee injury. I would be surprised if he plays, much less contributes. Also, James Conner, he'll probably be healthy enough to play, but in a division matchup against the Rams, who are the second toughest defense against running backs this season, and he really didn't do much against Vegas last week. I mean, his backup was more productive. I don't know if I'd start him. Also, Kenny Golladay is currently in your lineup. That's all I'll say about that. Surprise play. I'm going to say, it's probably not a surprise, but Carson Wentz is currently on the bench. I'm going to say he puts up more points than Joe Burrow. Take that for what it is. I am projecting if he takes Kenny Golladay out of that lineup, I'll pick Gridiron Mafia. If Kenny stays in the lineup, it goes to Roster Guard. So, Ty, thanks for dropping in this week and for riding shotgun with me. Any encouragement or shade you want to throw at anyone else in the league? Any trash talk you want to send to your opponent?
Oh, I have absolutely no place to be trash talking right now. I'm just happy to finally get a win. And I'll throw a lot of credit to my assistant, Scott Swipman, for keeping everyone together when I was out on my wedding and honeymoon and keeping the team motivated. But it's been a pleasure to join you and be your side guy on this. This is...
All right.
Went very well. Well done production, man. It's been a lot of fun co-hosting.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Remember, you can buy NFFL swag on Redbubble at bit.ly/NellisNFFL. And we will see you all next time, next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
NFFL Podcast is a production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios, tell your story.